Thank you, Lord. We sing for joy. We sing for joy. We sing in joy. We sing for you because you are joy. Jesus on us. Jesus on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for celebrating with you. Thank you, Lord. Can we give him a big shout? Thank you, Lord. You're amazing, God. Woohoo! Wow. Whoa. Amen. You know, I love this. Some have been to the beach. Who's been to the beach this summer? Woo! Who's going to the beach this summer? Woo! In Mozambique. Who's at the beach right now? Those listening later. Lots going on. Oh, my goodness. We're so glad to be here today. Jesus, we love you. Who believes that with me? Come on. Woo! This is so good. Some people think, well, you muster that up because you have to. It's like, are you kidding me? Do you want to know my life? Praise the Lord. Wow, look what we have here. Look what we have. So who wants to speak about this? We have someone who will speak about this. Oh, come home. So is someone going to grab this?
Rachel's coming. Rachel White oversaw for the first time Jackson Community Celebration this year. Well, we got to speak to a lot of little children and hand balloons out to them. So it might have seemed a little simple, but say, hey, Jesus loves you. Here's a balloon. Enjoy your time. And it was interesting the first night to, do you have the pictures with Isaac? He was the balloon missionary. He was just out there like, here, and some of the adults were really blessed by him, his attitude and his, just his way of, his mannerisms, so he was enjoying it very much. Oh, there he is. He stayed late. He was so excited about doing that, so yes. Ashley has a testimony. Where's Ashley? Okay, the first night there was a group of Jackson High School, I think people that she knew. I wish she would be here to talk about it. Okay, and Tiana, do you have a testimony too? Well, yesterday afternoon, Tiana and I were there for a while in the heat. And there was a pilot with his two daughters, and first, why don't you come and tell the story? Tiana had a good testimony, so.
A man and his two daughters came over, and so we were drawing for his daughters, and the one girl that I was drawing for, her name was Olivia. And when I saw her, the first thing I thought of was a doll. I've never driven a doll or drawn a doll before, so I drew this doll, and it for doll, D-O-L-L, doll, yes. And for some reason, the details were very important to me. So I was listening to Holy Spirit and the dress with the heart on it, and I made buttons for eyes and like yarn for hair, and like it just was important. And then the words that I heard is, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." But for her, I put "You are wonderfully made" at the top of the paper and put the Bible verse. And as I drew this doll, I just gave her a word about how the Lord sees her, how, you know, I talked about Pastor Bill's word, how the Lord spends 9 months making us and how important and beautifully made we are to him. And as I was giving her this word, her dad says, "Didn't you just get a doll just like that yesterday?" And she's like, "Yeah, I did at the hospital." And so then I got a chance to ask her, you know, "Well, why were you at the hospital?" And she said there was some testing being done on her to see if she had some kind of sickness because she was having some problems with her body. And so I also had the opportunity to pray with her about the sickness and just told her that Jesus can heal and just blessed her with a healing prayer as well. So.
Okay. And for the other girl, I got a picture of clouds and purity, and then her dad said that he's a pilot, so it was kind of interesting. And then I wanted to share about Libby. She's a young girl who, she was at, you can see in the picture there, it's the Red Beard barbecue place. She was the daughter of the owner of that stand. And so she came over like several nights, and I guess she had been there last year, and she was also here at Summer Celebration one time. And so she drew a picture for all of us last night that were there at the booth, and she kind of tapped into the prophetic a little bit. So she was all about drawing, and so.
So the first night was very eventful, at least for me. I got to share with two young teenage girls and just give the gospel to them, and that was really meaningful to be able to do that. And then this is actually one of my old students. So she came to the booth with her friend, and I was able to draw for her and share the gospel more with her. And then following later in the night, I walked away for a second to throw something in the way, and I came back, and there was a big group of kids all up in a tizzy, and I looked, and I'm like, they were all, many of them were Perry kids, and they were all upset because there was something happening up at the basketball court, and there was no peace, and there was a big upset, and there was maybe some fight going to start, and I was able just to go move in with peace and kind of draw the one kid who was the most agitated away and pray with him because I knew him. And I just want to thank God that nothing happened and that I was able to impart peace and vision and hope to this young man. And I just pray that all the Perry kids and all the teenagers that we reached on that night in particular, that they'll come to the edge and come to Frontline and get the true freedom they need. So that's my prayer for them.
And I saw Haley later that night. She said she was part of that, and she's in Pittsburgh right now. But she said it was so awesome tonight. Oh my gosh, there were these kids I didn't know they were from Perry, but anyway, these high school kids, and you could tell they were having a dispute, a squabble, or whatever. And I just went right in there and said, "Hey, hi guys, how's it going? Looks like you're pretty upset about something," and was also involved. So the Lord used different people, with Ashley being very direct on that as well. I'm not sure exactly what Haley told them, but it was such a stirring that God was doing. He's saying, "Hey, there's a group. Go after this group." So thank you guys so much for what you did this summer there, this week. Thank you for giving up your time in the heat. We don't have an ocean to jump into or a pool. So it definitely was a stretch, I'm sure. But God bless you. Thank you for stopping for the one. The Lord is saying, take those seeds that are sown in righteousness, and I'll water them, and I'll bring it to fruition. There'll be something really great that comes out of it.
Yeah, we had a lot of other really incredible testimonies. I first just want to thank everybody that came out, took the time to do it. And this was last night or Friday night? Friday night, Teresa and Jordan got to minister to these two precious ones, and they were really blessed by their photo. Then, Steph, if you can go to, might be the next picture. No, might not be the next picture. We'll get to these. It's a picture with me and a girl are smiling in the front, and then there's like three other, Teresa and Jordan are drawing for other people. So anyways, the two that Jordan and Teresa first were ministering to then brought all of their friends over, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, you have to do this. It's so cool." So we got to minister to all of these young adults, which was really fun. They really enjoyed it, and we got to invite them to the edge and everything. And then, yeah, if you want to keep flipping through, there are definitely some more highlights. These girls, Jamie, do you want to share about this?
Well, this was Teresa and I, but these two girls are from out of state, from Pennsylvania, and trying to find friends, and I really hope I made a connection with them over Facebook and want to keep that conversation going with them. But Teresa, did you pray with her to receive Jesus? So we spent a good amount of time with them. You know, some people sit down and they might be a little squirrely, they want to get up and go, but the Lord really drew these two girls here because they sat down and they waited for us to draw for them, and we talked with them, and we spoke about the Lord and presented the gospel to them. And there was just no agitation. There was just sitting and listening and just wondering. And so Teresa spent a good amount of time with the young girl with a purple balloon and led her to Christ and spoke some deep things into her heart that were really beautiful, just about the Father's love. And then the girl that I'm standing with, too, I had a specific picture for her that drew out some things that she'd been experiencing in her life. And we talked about that, and I asked her, where are you with the Lord right now? Do you feel like you're close to him? Are you wanting more of him? And I asked her about when she gave her life to Jesus, because she kind of expressed she was a Christian. And so we talked a little bit more about that, what that looks like following and Jesus and making him Lord of your life. And so she asked to pray, to rededicate her life to the Lord and pray with me. And she was just kind of dumbfounded that they found themselves in the middle of this Jackson community celebration from Pennsylvania, trying to find friends with these two strangers that are talking about Jesus, and they end up getting saved. So that was just really powerful and awesome, and I really hope to see them come, because they're going to be here all summer, so, and then return back. And then Gabe drew for her. We didn't ask him to, but he started drawing. He wants to draw whenever we're drawing, and so he started drawing a rainbow, and I said, buddy, what does that mean? He goes, it's a rainbow, and I said, what does it mean for her? And he said, love, and he drew her heart, and he drew God at the top, and so that was really cool that Gabe stepped into that, just watching everybody else do it, so.
And then these two, Brady, the guy in the picture, I got to draw for him. And he also prayed with me to give his life to Jesus, or rededicate his life. It wasn't perfectly clear if he had done that before. I don't think he had. He just kind of said recently, oh yeah, I've kind of been struggling in my belief. And so, you know, as I talked with him more, I said, is that something you, would you like to recommit your heart to Jesus? And he's been raised Catholic. So I think that was the first time he really prayed out from his heart to do that, which was really, really incredible. So, and Steph, if you just want to flip through the rest of the pictures, again, we're so thankful everyone came out, from even just the opportunity to hand out balloons. We were able to tell a lot of people about Relentless Pursuit coming up, and about the young adults. We told them about The Edge and the young adult retreat we have in the fall. So it was just a really awesome time. The whole Larson family came out, and they were all participating. And so we just, want to thank you all again for joining us on our local mission field.
All right. Praise the Lord. This is amazing. Thanks, you guys. These things are really important, and we keep doing the work of the kingdom. And in the middle of that, we're asking the Lord, what are the keys for greater success? What does success look like from your perspective? Stopping for the one is certainly success in God's eyes. We want to see people saved, healed, free, delivered, set free, and all of us absolutely moving towards and in the fullness of our destiny. So we're real excited about that. The week before, we had summer celebration, and we had an amazing week last week and last Sunday, and I'm not sure that's even posted on the website. I think it's just the message. I'm not sure. And so I'm sorry if you weren't here. We had video. We had testimony. It was just really amazing. So if you were part of that, some of you kids and parents, and you were on vacation or you were not here or whatever, talk to some of the ones who did the video taking and such. And we had just a great time. We want to make sure everyone feels strengthened and empowered and encouraged from that time away. And Lawrence, I didn't know if you wanted to say something this Sunday or next Sunday. Next Sunday, we don't just give dates for this so people can mark it in their calendar? Or I can? Which is, do you know the dates? Well, just because people plan and they need to know things, we're going to give you dates for our Greenlight Missions Outreach Mission Trip, actually, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, August 17th, 18th, and 19th. And on the 19th, we're going to meet afterwards at the Larson House for our worship. So our Sunday morning worship will be with the kids and parents and helpers and whoever. And it'll be intense Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, having whatever awesome thing happens. And then our regular, so to speak, regular service will be 10:30. So we'll come over at 10:30 unless we change that time. We'll go over at 10:30. And then we'll have worship around the campfire and just a closing out. Just going to be great, and we'll have lunch or something, so we'll get all those details later, okay? So mark your calendars for that, so it's going to be great. Kingdom Kids Mission Trip, this is awesome. And we're going to have T-shirts, and Kyle Calder had designed the shirt unknowingly to him that we thought we might use in Brazil. But we feel that that's what this is for, because it's local. And so the one with the bridge that you did design is not for naught, and Angela as well. Angela was involved in that. And so anyone else who is helping, we just thank you that we're going to have T-shirts for everybody. And it's just going to be amazing. We have things, some things planned, and Lawrence will fill that in later and tell you next week. Next weekend is our last Sunday before our team goes to Mozambique. So we will have a release, we'll have dedication, we'll have a send-off. And after last week's message, just really asking the Lord, Lord, did you want me to continue with this? How do you want to do this? And just felt that he was telling me and Pastor Bill together, this is three-part. So today is part two. I'm not going to present the entire message from part one. So I am asking that you would take the time and listen to it because it's foundational. I am going to go through the scriptures and at least verbally give them to you. And if you guys can type fast, you can put up the references as we go along, and you can take notes if you're a note taker. If not, just look, get it online. But I really encourage it. I'm asking everyone who's going to Mozambique to have all three of those in their belt, so they'll be here next Sunday. So last week, this week, and that. And I just really think it will behoove you to do that for your sake, for your family, for this ministry, for the future. It's timely, and the Lord's been building up for the things that God's releasing right now. Did you have something?
We also have First Friday, this coming Friday. So if you couldn't be a part of Jackson Celebration, we'll be doing the same kind of thing in downtown Canton on Friday. We'd love to see you down there anytime from 6 to 10 p.m. We'll be there with a table drawing personal pictures for people as well. So
I think they have
fireworks, so it should be a busy one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, usually.
Okay. All right, that's cool. Before we do go, I asked Carr to put up a couple pictures. We FaceTimed Jokabeji, Amanda, Hyla, Danielle, Janielle, and Inez in Brazil yesterday. It was Hobson's birthday, so we got them all together. It was really great. So she sent a picture of each one of them and then a short video clip. So we're just going to show that because this message is timely for them as well. I've been sharing a lot with Inez about this. These folks are steeped in holy clubs, and God is doing a big work, but the enemy's also trying to stop it. So we're saying, no way. These are kids of the kingdom. All right. That was Danielle, the first one. Can we back it up? Danielle? That's not Danielle. Okay, so that's Jokabeji. That's Danielle. That's Janielle. That's Hobson behind him. There's Hobson or Robinson. There he is. And Inez is somewhere in there. There she is. Hello, Inez. And there's Hyla. All these guys want to go to, and Joe, and all these guys want to go to Mozambique, and they're coming. Only two are going this year, and there's Amanda. So Amanda and Joe will be with us on the Mozambican team. So there's a short video clip. You want to put the sound up because it's very short.
We love you.
All right, these are our crazy seven from Centro do Oração in City of God, Cidade de Deus in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Did you have that Facebook thing? Facebook. All right, we're going to play part of this. I was preparing my heart this morning and looking for a message from Ben, so I got on Facebook real quickly, and I see Joe posted something. We're not going to play the whole thing, but it's just for you if you've not seen this before, and maybe you can pull up what she wrote. That's our Centro de Oração. Thank you. So she wrote, Deliverer, with special participation of Princess Esther at the Frontline Worship Center. We simply love what we do and love where we are. Praise God, City of God, Sao Paulo. Amen. So praise the Lord. And Danielle is going to be ready soon to play the drums that we don't have yet. So we are looking to purchase a drum set because now we have an expanded place and we have room for it. So praise God for that. So if there's not any other announcement, we're releasing the kids to Kingdom Land. And if you want to feel the effects of these amazing three fans, move up close because it's blowing up here. If you're hot, come up here. Got to be comfortable. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the continuation of last week, Lord. And Father, just ask that open hearts would be your desire and that you would prepare us, God, to receive even greater depth of what was released last week. And we just thank you, Lord, before we go overseas again and before, Father, we go into another place, you have things for us to do, things for us to receive, places for us to go, keys for us to hold, and understanding in our minds, spiritual understanding. So we thank you, Father, for this. We praise you, Lord, for this. Father, the enemy does not take a vacation during vacation. So we thank you, Father, that you are on the throne. We're with you. We're seated in heavenly places. And we thank you, Lord, for the authority that you give us. We praise you, Lord, in this season and this time. Thank you for the roar on Tuesday. Father, it was amazing. The Tuesday worship was absolutely off the charts and amazing. And we thank you, God, that you're building us up in our most holy faith. You are so gracious, Lord. Thank you for this message and for these beautiful people. Amen. Okay. I am going to just kind of run through this. This is July 1st, 2018. And the Lord really highlighted, rescue me. When we speak out, rescue me. That God is saying, I'm trying to increase you in the area so that you receive the full benefits of the rescue that already took place at the cross. That's my heart. I love you so much. And I'm desiring that you will step into the fullness and not miss any part that I have paid a big price for. I mean, everyone in here would say, of course that's true. Yes, I like that. That's who I am. That's where I've been standing. That's what I want to see in my life. And the Lord says, it's not just for your life. It's for the people around you, and it's for the nations. The Lord says, I want to be able to use you in fullness. I want you to be able to access heaven so freely that you understand what's going on in the heavenly realm. And you're not confused. And you might have some ahas today. You might have, wow, I never thought of it that way. Those ahas are from the Lord. He's wanting to grab us. He's saying, you, I've marked you. It's time. Move with me. Don't move at a snail's pace. Don't move behind me. Move with me. And I really believe that we're going to, when we experience this breakthrough individually, there's going to be a corporate breakthrough and things are going to shift. And that's what he's calling. But if we cannot see that we may be part of things not shifting, if we cannot see that, if we will not, cannot wrap our arms around that, then we stay where we are, and others will continue to go past us. And we want to see the fullness that everything Jesus died for and raised for be our portion. Next week particularly, I'm going to touch in the areas. I'm going to take the two, last week and this week, combine them as well, and go into more areas in the particular area of healing. There's a healing anointing in this body, on this church. We've seen so many things. We've seen incredible miracles, and the Lord says, if you want to go past that, you have to be able to capture and walk in what was released already in the past. If you cannot, if you do not, if you will not, you will have not, because the Lord has more for us. And this is the season to say, maybe I haven't thought of it that way. Maybe I've been busy. Maybe I've just been wrapped up in things, or maybe I've just not been aware. Whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, the Lord is saying this is a season of breakthrough. When Lawrence was giving a roar on Tuesday, it was a roar that needed to happen. It's a roar that haven't seen as frequently. And the Lord says this is going to become more frequent in his life and other lives in our worship team. And these are roars from inside that piggyback what Jesus has already done for us. But the Lord says, I'm giving you, I'm tightening up things in your life so that you will be able to access these courts of heaven in an effective way and then release everything judicially that the Lord says belongs to us. And we need to understand these terms. We need to understand these thoughts. We need to understand spiritually and then execute the righteous judgments that Jesus has already taken and done for us, taken upon his shoulders. Okay, so I'm going to go through and I listened to the message again for the third time, actually. I mean, who wants to listen to themselves? I don't. I have things to do. But I felt like the Lord saying, listen to this and then give them a snippet as a teaser in one way, but also not really teasing. But in another way, the Lord says, again, release a foundation, but don't reteach everything. It's going to take a little bit of effort on your part and my part to be able to go in and get this and then dig in, because I'm not digging in from last week. I'm going further. I'm digging deeper. I'm not going back and just recapturing everything. So I want to say a few things here, and I wrote this out this morning, and I just want to highlight some of these things. That when the Lord gave us the theme, Rescue Me, in Summer Celebration, it was really strong in my spirit. I want to teach you what full rescue looks like. And you understand it in part. You all have servant hearts, servant attitudes, stopping for the one, loving your kids, participating in various things, for sure. But the Lord says, there's so much more with how I have marked you. And for the DNA on you, on your life, this is not a little thing. It's very big. And the enemy is all about slowing down our destiny, slowing down or even altering, trying to get us to alter our destiny in Jesus. And he wants us to see it. Jesus wants us to see it. And so that we will have the right thinking, so we don't think anyone's against us. We don't think I'm a bad person. We don't think, oh, I just feel condemnation. Here they go again. That is just not even true. That is a ploy of the enemy to keep us down. And the Lord wants to show us why and how, so that we can celebrate everything and move in it. So that's where we are. I believe that this new realm of understanding is going to give us an opportunity to understand the legal rights that the enemy has to work against us that are unseen. He's going to understand. Do you have that stretch thing, Carly? Yeah. The enemy works against us in ways that we typically cannot see. If we saw, we would say, oh, that's crazy, wouldn't we? So he works in areas, maybe other people see it. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. This is exactly what I was looking for. And I called her yesterday. And I need, not a pregnant one, I need Mike. I have a exercise band right here. Can we just put it around you, Mike, and put it around your belly? Okay. So Mike is trying to go forward. I'm demonstrating here for those who are listening. We have an exercise band. It's very stretchy, and he has it around his waist, and he doesn't know it's there. Okay, so this exercise band, we're just going to say, can be a ploy of the enemy. So Mike starts to take a step forward. Go ahead, Mike. Whoa. And there's something that exercises a pressure against him. You don't even have to do that. Just keep walking. Whoa, slower. And now you start moving back a little bit. There you go. All right, and let's try it again. Mike experiences something really powerfully high. It's like, oh my gosh, I went on missions, or I had this great encounter with the Lord. Something, and there's just a pullback. It's like, why? I'm okay. I have a great wife and great children. Two coming. One coming and two after that. I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying the two. Faith and Gabriel is what I'm saying. Yeah. And what the enemy is trying to do to us, we cannot see it. But others who are with us will be like, oh, they're getting close. There's an openness. And they start, a person near you, might even be you, will take a step again. And there will be a hesitation. And that hesitation many times can come from a source that we don't understand. And then we just relegate it to, I don't want to. I'm not ready. I'm not going to. And there can be something operating that's strong enough to actually motivate us to say those words, okay? If the Lord is saying move forward, so move, that's a blessing. We're always moving towards blessings, but there's a pullback, okay? And eventually, not only will it pull us back, but it will cause us to turn. And if we start to turn to the right, Mike, just turn a little, turn to the right, a little bit. As Mike turns to the right, okay, he starts moving in the other direction. Okay, and we want the Lord to pull back so that Mike will turn again in the proper direction, do an about face, and keep moving. When Mike doesn't have the pressure, Mike is free to move. And he's going to move more quickly. He's not going to be walking like a snail. He's going to be moving quickly, okay? And we can use this actually as a pull from the enemy and actually as a push from the enemy too, okay? So a push from behind will be in the same way that the enemy can use that. But we want the freedom. Okay, we can do this, I suppose, as a push, but it really looks like a pull. So the enemy's pushing us to the right. Turn right completely around. There you go. Go that direction. Move. Okay, move. Whoops. Whoops. There's nothing distracting the enemy. Okay, keep going. Keep going. So he's pushing with this power. It keeps moving in this direction, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And the Lord's saying, come back, I'm over here, or come towards me. And that's where we want to be. Thanks, Mike. You can put that down. What we want to do is be able to recognize that in ourselves, in each other, and actually access the courts of heaven to be able to exercise the legal rights that we have to help our fellow person out in our family. It might be our wife. It might be our husband. It might be our children. And it may come from places in the spirit that we don't fully understand. So anything that's not a blessing from God, like, oh, this is a blessing, is the opposite of that. It's a curse. And a curse is a spiritual empowerment of darkness. But the minute we use that word, because I have tried that in my many years of being a believer, and thought, well, that's not working. How do I explain this in a way for someone to understand what something could be to slow them down, hinder their destiny, and actually interrupt their destiny? And for those who are believers who have experienced the good life, who've experienced the presence of God, they won't even see it. They won't see. They will not recognize the distraction. There'll be something more important at the moment that seems to take their attention than what the Lord is actually saying at the moment. And they'll weigh it and say, this is what I want to do because this is about people. And the Lord's saying, but I'm speaking to you right now and you cannot see it. Because I'm trying to rescue you because this is part of your problem. And you don't see it. And it's like, wow, that's tricky. But it takes us being in the courts of heaven and listening and responding to the Lord and understanding what he might reveal. So when we're sitting in his presence and we say, Jesus, I'm asking you to show me what has had a legal right against me. And when I say legal right, I'm talking about a transaction, a legal we talked all about courtrooms last week, so I'm not going to go into the details of that. Listen to the message. And so that legal right that the enemy has to continue to harass us, to accuse us, if he has a legal right to set up camp or land in any way, shape, or form, if we have given him unknowingly access to do that because we have not stopped what the enemy feels and knows that he has a right in the spirit to release, if we don't recognize that, we can inadvertently step into something that we don't like, we don't feel, and just call it an attack, and just call it, well, you know, it's tribulation, or just say, you know, we just got these things coming against us our whole life, and some of that might be true, but the Lord says a causeless non-blessing, if there's no place in that realm, it can't land and stay. It can try to afflict. It can try to harm. And it might go on for a while until a person wakes up. But if they are not waking up to the truth in the scriptures to be able to open their eyes so they can see, then eventually it will take root and get worse. And you can see this in churches, in ministries, in family lines, in businesses. You can see how this operates. The more spiritual understanding we have from the scriptures, then we are able to take those scriptures back to the Lord and say, wow, what do we do with this, Lord? How do we get the people that we love free? And he says, you have to be freer than them to be able to help them. Okay? And so we take a look at ourselves, but each other as well to help. And so this is something the Lord was saying, this church, this body, this ministry is ready for this. As I was thinking about going back at the very beginning of 2018 and looking at the message titles for what we preached and others who were here when we were overseas, but what was preached at the beginning of this year, what the words were that described what's going to happen in 2018 and what God needs to do in the courts of heaven with our cooperation and what we are all about to for that to come to pass, for that to be executed. And he's saying, I'm using my children and their awareness of what my word is saying and how I operate in heaven as the righteous judge to facilitate these promises that have been made. So, I mean, they're big promises for 2018. So not knowing exactly what he would have us release in messages, and we're in July now. So we're talking 6 months. We're at half-year mark. And the Lord is saying, okay, now I want you to assess what I have done here. If you're not around, or if you don't make up things when you're not around because you're busy or whatever, I'm telling you there are steps, there are stepping stones that the Lord has given us to be able to receive something like this without any condemnation, but receive the next key. God's giving us keys. Oh, well, I've already heard about curses, and I already broke curses. Really? Well, maybe there's some areas that you're not aware of that still are operating in the midst of trying to be free of anything that would have entangled you from the past. Many people in here have been through or have families that have been through a divorce, or they have some kind of a breaking of covenants in their family or in their family line. Those are very strong. But there's reasons for a lot of things, and the enemy wants to twist and turn so that people look bad. And it means sin is bad, don't get me wrong. But God wants us to go into the roots of a lot of these things to be able to effectively change. Not what happened, but change what happens with the enemy's right to be able to continue to harass. That's what we want to stop. That's what we want to have some knowledge about. Okay, so I'm going to go through a few other things. So hopefully you will listen to last week and then build from this. So Lord gave us Galatians 3:13, which is a reality, which is, as you know, that Jesus became a curse for us. And Jesus was the embodiment of the curse. And there are people that preach that, well, that happened at the cross, so there is nothing else that I have to be concerned about. But all the other scriptures that say, you know, he became the curse, that's true. And when our spirit was born again, our spirit was made perfect. And that was the embodiment of the fullness at that point with our spirit, the spirit of the living God coming into us. The area that we are afflicted in, the area that we are hurt in the soulish realm, in the mind, the will, the emotions, which play out many times in the body, can be like a cancer, can be like Maria's fighting that, and we're fighting with her right now. And the Lord might be saying some things to all of us to understand what's going on, what's happening in the spirit. And it's not what is someone doing that's not right. It's not even that. It's not the message. The message is, what gives the enemy legal right to afflict, to continue to afflict the way that he does? Is it just natural? Are there spiritual ramifications that we need to potentially consider and look at? Absolutely. If Josh is going to give a very wise opinion with the medical knowledge that he has, he's going to look at the root, he's going to look at the source, and he's going to call on the Lord, obviously, and then he's going to give his best understanding of what might be helpful, not just to relieve symptoms, but to go to the source and see if there's an answer from a medical perspective. And we're going to go into that a little bit more in detail next week in the area of healing, which I think will be timely for us going to Mozambique. So for this to become a reality, we want to appropriate our victory. We want the victory to become something that's tangible, that we will notice, oh my gosh, my kids are responding differently. Oh my gosh, my in-laws are responding differently. Oh my gosh, there's a change in the court decisions that I thought, how could this possibly even happen? And I gave you examples last week of how it happened to me. So I've experienced this even before I understood the fullness of the reality of what was going on in the heavenlies as a believer who trusted. But God was also saying, look back and let me show you how this was operating as you were in the courtrooms and doing what you were doing here. And he showed me at that time, many years ago, when there were many difficult things going on, he showed me clearly that curses had been established in family lines. And this even happened before that for me. It was with my own family, with things that had happened that caused great, or was at the root of the great, great sickness and disease, that eventually my mother's life was released to the Lord 2 years ago. It'll be 3 years this fall. And much activity in the heavenlies has taken place. But as far as being completely freed of all those things, not until she went to heaven. So, you know, the Lord's, he's very patient with us, but he's also saying, I'm giving you keys, so listen carefully. The judicial jurisdiction of God in Luke 18, 1 through 8, we went through dealing with the unjust judge and the persistent widow. And we want to get the highest result and apprehend the promises of God, not just fighting on the battlefield. That just makes us weary. But at the same time, the Lord is merciful. But at the same time, the enemy's a legalist. So when Jesus did everything on this earth, he did it as a man, but he was in constant communion with the Father. So he understood. With this, with teaching like this more, deeper places, with the building up of everything from the last 6 months, I really believe the Lord's going to show us things in the scripture where we're going to see even legal terms and courtroom words and adversarial uses of words like adversary, transgression, iniquity, things that the Lord wants to explain from a legal perspective, because the enemy is a legalist. And he can falsely accuse, and he can accuse because there's actually sin to accuse. So it's like, how do you deal with both if that's going on? The Lord wants us to understand how to do that. And he needs our focus. He needs our heart. He needs us to be able to trust his word, which is what, why we're going through this foundationally, so that we will have a working spiritual understanding, not this head thing full of great, great scriptures and thoughts. We want to get these highest results. So the Lord has spoken to us about a judicial way of praying that is in addition to the way that he taught us, our Father who art in heaven, but it's also entering into the courts as this persistent widow did. And I went through that line by line, and in verses, I think it was 6, 7, and 8, the last few verses, the Lord was very clear in what he was using as a natural perspective, an unjust judge who didn't have the fear of God, who didn't care about people. And this widow was saying, I want a verdict. I want a verdict from you. It was a very strong pattern. It's not just saying, keep praying, kids. Sometimes Jesus says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. While that's true, in many ways, it also can become a very comfortable phrase for us. Jesus said, wait for the next 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and maybe he's waiting on us to be able to understand what our rights are, what we can do, in addition to the fact that persecution will come to the church. But wouldn't it be great to be able to go through persecution really knowing the Lord is permitting this for our growth, for his purposes, etc., but there's really no place in us. There's no iniquity. There's no transgression. There's no sin. There's no place for any of these empowerments to land and wreak havoc against us that are pushing us or pulling us away from our destiny. So it's very important for us to consider for ourselves and our loved ones right now. He wants us to contend for what belongs to us. Christy, one of the gifts that she gave me last year for my birthday was a really cool T-shirt. I was going to wear it today, but it's kind of hot, so I didn't wear that. But it says, this is something like, this is a girl who just thought she could and went for it. or believed she could and went for it, right? And I loved that, and I wore it, you know, in the winter and everything. And I thought, Lord, isn't that what you have for all of us? It was a prophetic gift from my daughter who didn't understand probably the fullness of that for me. But the Lord's unpacking even more. He's saying, go for it, kids. Dig into the scriptures. Don't just go, that was nice. Let's go out to lunch. Think about it. Not lunch is fine. I'm just saying, go after what I'm releasing today. I also spoke about this, that I gave the example of Jesus in Luke 22, 31 and 32, that when Jesus was operating as a man on earth, he was speaking on behalf in the courts in heaven to the Lord, to his Father, about Peter. And Peter was just about potentially to be sifted because Satan in the New Testament is asking to sift him like wheat. And Jesus, in his role, this was not his divine Jesus. This is Jesus as a man who understood that close communion with the Father. And he's saying, kids, I'm calling you to be completely connected with me 24/7 so that you'll understand you will ascend to the holy mountain, those with a clean hands and pure heart. And you will see in the spirit. You'll see what's going on in the heavenlies. You'll see the general assembly, great cloud of witnesses. You'll see things. They exist. There's activity going on in heaven with our mediator, with our high priest, with Jesus Christ, who is our great intercessor. If we didn't need that great intercession, he wouldn't have gone to the cross, raised from the dead, and continue to do that. And then call us to do the same. He says, you are seated with me, seated on the throne with me in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2:10. What does that mean? We need to ask him, which I explained a lot of that last week. But ask him, what right do we have? Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. I gave an example of Jesus in the desert in Luke chapter 3 and the temptation from the enemy to get him to operate, think about this, to operate as his divine role would enable him to operate, to get him off his track so that he would not go, so that he would sin and not go to the cross as a man. He needed to go to the cross as a man in order to fulfill the righteous requirement of the legal transaction that the Father sent him to do and to accomplish. And had he sinned, and had he said, okay, what's one little temptation, that would not have occurred, and we would be in a whole different place right now. We have to think about that. So right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the enemy was after him to try to pull him off his course legally, so to speak, where Jesus could not fulfill his destiny. Have you ever felt like, I was created for more? I want to get there. I just can't seem to get there. Okay, maybe it'll be after the kids. Maybe it'll be after the grandkids. Maybe it'll be after retirement. It'll be. Did you ever feel that on the inside? Many times that potential dissatisfaction that's just kind of, you know, bothering people can be the Lord saying, honey, I'm trying to show you there's something stopping what you want to do. So you pour your energy here and you pour your energy here with some things potentially operating against you and not even realize it. And so you're doing great here, but this part of your life is kind of sketchy. And it's like, I can't do everything. And the Lord's saying, there's something else going on potentially, and you need to find out. That's what I believe God's saying. And I believe that we will have the explosion that we've seen in the Spirit. We will have that. There will be things that are going to completely wreck us, that we'll be able to go in the courts of heaven, and we're going to have the jurisdiction ease, so to speak, to know how to operate in a way that is easy. When Jesus called us, in Hebrews 4:16. Let's put Hebrews 4:12 through 16 up if we have anybody back there. We lost somebody. If anybody can, that'd be great. Let's do that. 13 through 16, I think. I only spoke on Hebrews 4:16 last week, but I'm just going to put that up today. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things revealed to us belong to our children. It's a verse about lineage. If we understand that, then we will do everything we can to apprehend the fullness of what's been released for our destiny right now. You might say, or a person might say, I'm fine where I am. Leave me alone. I'm in my process. The problem is, the Lord says, when I give you what can get you out of your process into my process, things can accelerate. Things can speed up. Things can look different. Fears will go away. You'll want to connect with people before you couldn't or wouldn't. You'll understand. There'll be an ease about it, just like when Mike took off the green band or the red band. Okay? There was an ease, and Mike could easily do this. So if we hear the word repentance, we think, okay, well, it's all about repentance again. Repentance is when it takes place. We know that repentance brings refreshing. Well, that takes place when there is sin still able to operate against us. This is not inside, so to speak. This is coming outside that could develop into a stronghold inside. That's possible. But sin and iniquity and transgression, and again, I spoke about that last week. Let me tell you guys, on Friday night, Pastor Bill and I were taking a walk, and we were praying, and we got home and just kept praying. So it was like a two-hour prayer walk thing, whatever. And the Lord just opened up the way to go and just opened up the Bible and said, start reading here. We start reading in Isaiah 43. And I said, oh my gosh, and I've read it so many times, and so have you. If you haven't looked at it, you have. And we decree it and declare it here. But you know what the Lord was highlighting? Amongst many things, sin, iniquity, and transgression. And it was amazing. And those are not the scriptures that I used last week. And so I was so excited. So we were able to move into prayer in other areas that would affect change for people that we love, for ourselves, for the future, for this church. Okay? For the things that God has as part of destiny. Very, very fun for us. Okay, now here's Hebrews 4:12-16. And this is a little bit of new right here because, like I said, it was only 4:16 last week. But as I was reading this week, I thought, you know, we need to look at this together. See it in context. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Okay, think about this. Of both joints and marrow, what holds us together, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God serves as an evaluator, as a judge. We're going to the Lord to see what He says. Many times we go and decree and we declare, and there's a million books out on it, and they're all good, but we still have something operating against us and we don't even know it. In the areas where the decrees are, it's like, okay, I decree, yeah, good, okay. But we're not moving where we want to move because this other thing is pulling us back. Or we start taking a step and we get pulled back, okay? So this is what I meant last week when I was talking about the cart before the horse. And the Lord's examining. Right now, my father, who's 94 and still around, is speaking all the time about the old stories. But you know what God's doing? He's bringing up things that I've never heard before, some of them. And some I have, but I'm looking at, Lord, is there anything else you want to show me about my own family line that's not accusing, but that can undo something that holds him back or undo something that holds somebody else back or even help me if I haven't seen something. I go in with that posture. And Lord, what can I do about it? What do you call me to do as an ambassador with great authority of the Most High God, because greater is He who is in me and He who is in the world. Okay? So He judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Remember what we said last week, dealing with transgression, dealing with rebellion in the heart, when we don't really want to do what the Lord probably would say in the future I might be able to do. Wouldn't that be nice? Because I've had a prophetic word or a picture, but I don't want to do that right now. Okay, that's very rebellious in nature. Why is that there? Well, I've been hurt or wounded. And people use that as a place to stay rather than the Word of God to enable them to go to the just judge in a judicial way, and then he will come and heal the wounds of the heart in fullness, because it won't happen without these other things taking place. Whoa, thank you, Lord. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, now this is as a result of what I just read, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things yet without sin. In other words, there's no curse that was holding him. There's no lack of blessing in his life, even though he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Okay? So think of Jesus as you're thinking of yourself and who you are in Christ. And I really believe that as we understand who he is and who we are, we move in greater ways into the throne room. We're into the heavenly realm to be able to see what is actually going on and why. Why do we know? We just know someone's been talking about us. All right? Someone has released a word curse, if you would, a negative blessing over us. I don't know about you, but we've had a lot of that over the years. It's like, why? Is that just because? Is it just because? Sometimes. Is there any other reason? Maybe. You see? What's going on? There's human nature. There's sin against man. We don't want to be focusing on curses. However, when the Lord starts bringing something up so that we can walk in blessing, not just what we feel is blessing, but what he says is blessing, to move us into his purposes, to move us forward into the next step in our destiny, not just enjoy the moment, but move us forward. God wants to use us more effectively to get there so that we can help others do the same and nations to be released as well. In Luke, in 1 Peter 5:8, we spoke about the enemy prowling around. Be sober and vigilant, because the enemy is prowling around as a lion, looking for those he can devour. And we know that. We know that there's words, there's Greek words that I gave. You can look up in, as you listen and think about these things, of what the enemy says can be used against us, and why various things are incited against a person. When you're with that person, what can happen? It can give you revelation of, well, where did this come from? How did this get exposed? It will be exposed when you pray for it. But God gives you the keys to be able to move and wield in an area that's not just, well, I think I'll be sweet and kind and make cookies and everybody will, it'll all work out someday. No, it won't. It's good to be sweet and kind and make cookies. And we do that whenever I can. But I'm saying, God is saying, I'm trusting you with deeper revelation, which is just the truth in the scriptures. So you need to step into it. And if you ignore what's been released, there's a possibility that you still have something operating against you, because you will not go after it, or you will not listen, or you'll make an excuse, or you'll just let it go. Because the enemy doesn't want this spiritual understanding and knowledge at all. Because it makes us armed and difficult to stand against. It increases our arming. I spoke about Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, Hebrews 4, 16, and I went into Job, and I spoke about Job and the legal access that was given from the courts of heaven to the enemy, and what Job did about it, knowing that he was not under the new covenant, and explaining how that is, how to potentially look at that in scripture. I'm not going to unpack that whole thing again, But some people, you know, they have bad things that happen or terrible things. They're like, oh, it's just like Job. It's like, oh, don't really want to say it that way. But I want to go and see what is operating and what I can do about it. If there's anything on my end and the Lord's end that he's calling me to do. If things have been going on for many years and long time, it's so easy to just say, well, when they get a glimpse of Jesus, it'll all change. That is very true. But we can help people get a glimpse of Jesus by helping in the spirit realm to remove what we can do on our end, not just for them, but for us first. We can remove the red belt in the spirit. We can go in and remit sin. We can go to the courts of heaven. We can go in and repent on behalf of sin that is known if we have a legal right and jurisdiction to do that, especially with family members and spiritual sons and daughters as well. Okay? But for when we get into the place of doing this for nations or regions or territories, we have to understand how God sees it and then step in. We do this on Friday nights. Okay, but if we can't even see that it's valuable to enough to come and be part of, because it's a stretch, we can't be part of that. We are not in what the Lord's allowing us to wield on his behalf, because we're understanding more of what our responsibility is. So it's like, oh my gosh, well, that's one more thing you're saying I have to do. I'm not saying you have to do anything. I'm saying that the Lord reveals things to us, and he's calling us, and when we will make concessions in other areas, he'll give us opportunities to exercise our faith in these realms, and we're seeing those kinds of changes. But at the same time, we want to see many young adults in this place. We want to see many people going to the nations. We want to see leaders raised up completely, not being held back because they're comfortable in a particular area. We want to see things change. And it takes a big, big chunk of humble pie to say, Jesus, could there be a curse operating against me? And then be willing to take that all the way to the end and see what the Lord says. Because it's very easy to say, well, here we go. We're talking about bad things again. No, we're not. We're talking about good things and the reality of what the courts of heaven offer us. So we want to take steps in unlocking destiny and getting our breakthroughs in the season that God says we can have them. And so if we see Jesus as the great intercessor, high priest, and mediator, he's encouraging us to position ourselves in authority. So when we land a punch against the enemy who's attacking, which he's always doing, that's his job, then there's a specific remedy. If Josh would prescribe the wrong medication and it's not going to affect a help or a change or moving in a direction for someone, that's woe be to that, to Josh. Okay, number one, he wouldn't ever want to do that. Number two, he could be sued. Number three, the person could misunderstand or have something worse that's developed. So he needs to educate himself. He did. And so he continues to do that. But also in the spirit realm, we need to do that. And we need to take the time to do that and spend the time in the courts of heaven so that our little ones will understand who they are and how they can and how they can be part of rescuing others, even at a young age. There's ways to explain this to kids easily once we understand it. It's not hard. We're not trying to make this difficult. I believe it's simple. It's just hidden. It's a treasure. And the Lord says, these are mysteries revealed, but they're for you and they're for your children. And I talked about Timothy and Paul last week and a number of other things in that area. So we want to present our case, answer any accusations, false or true, and we don't want to live under the pressure or the power of anything negative. So we need to examine our bloodline in the area of iniquity and increase in maturity in prayer to actually close doors officially. We want to get a righteous judgment against the enemy that's already been rendered at the cross. Jesus already did it, and I explained that thoroughly last week. So I'm not going to go through it now, but we're not saying, hey, Jesus isn't enough. No, Jesus is saying, I want you to walk in the fullness of what I did, so you need to understand this. We don't want to be part of giving the enemy a legal right to hit someone that we love through us, through our own attitude, action, or opinion. What we say, what we do, what we don't say, what we don't do. Because the enemy is a legalist. So he's got somebody, you know, that he wants to get off course even more. And we can exacerbate the problem. We can be part of it and not even recognize it, because there may be things operating that we refuse to see because we have, this is the way I look at it. That's not right. And it's not healthy. We need to put everything before the Lord and let him show us in the Word, not just one part of the Word, but the full counsel of the Word. Okay? Yes, there's persecution. Yes, people sin. Yes, Jesus wants to get their attention. But the Lord's going to show us what forgiveness and mercy look like in the midst of that, that will help them come out with the release of love and grace. This is a new realm of grace that God wants us to enter into, but we have to approach him and say, Lord, have I not approached your throne of grace with confidence and boldness in my time of need? I think I have. And he may say, well, you have, but it's only in part, because there's a section over here you can't see, and it relates to something from your somebody relative, or it relates to something from your own transgression or sin or rebellion or whatever. And that's the kind of conversation that we need to have with the Lord. So we want to get a judgment against every enemy, and we want to, I gave an example of my friend, which I'm not going to go into now, who has a husband who's facing potentially life imprisonment. And what to say to someone like that when you have the kind of spiritual understanding of this. We cannot claim ignorance. That incites the enemy. We just can't. The enemy's going, yo, good, they don't know, they don't understand. Oh, yes, they are learning, and yes, they are. Yes, they are, because they're walking in humility. I'm walking in humility, so therefore, there's a place that I need to unpack before you, Lord. I went through Psalm 51, 1 and 2, Psalm 31, I believe 1 and 2, talking about sin, transgression, and iniquity. I mentioned Proverbs 26:2, a causeless curse shall not alight, and explained all of that using a lot of examples. And then Psalm 89:14, which is righteousness and judgment are the foundations of the throne, and what that looks like for us in the area of judgment. If we say Jesus is the God of judgment, we think he's not judging anything till the millennial time. He's not doing anything till we get to the Bema Seat of Christ. He's still judge now, but we have to understand how we approach him to execute the righteousness as a judge would do in a courtroom. There are courts of heaven. So we went through the scriptures last week to show where these legal places are. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. If we don't, then we might have a season where it feels a little better for the moment. Like maybe we're making some progress, but the enemy will not stop because he's determined. He knows our history. He knows everything in our lineage. And he knows what right he has to continue to assault and to approach those, to approach him with these ideas and these thoughts is part of eating humble pie. And going and connecting with people who understand these things, who are not judging you or me, but understand and want to go to the courts of heaven together to unpack these things. So we can come together. When I pray, it's powerful. When my husband and I pray, it puts 10,000 to flight. Okay? And we're not going after the demons. We don't have to. We go into the heavenlies. Let me tell you, I gave you an example last week about something that happened to me when I was taken into the courts of heaven in 2010, and I explained it, not going through it. You listen and you'll hear. But one thing I didn't say was that another time in the last year, there's something desperately coming against me physically that I've not talked about. And the Lord showed my husband, as he's praying for me, gave him a vision. We were in the courts of heaven, and Jesus himself was in our room and manifesting, pointing to me and saying, eradicate, eradicate. And he wasn't smiling, and he's happy with me. He likes me, okay? But there was a change. There was a shift. There was a decree from heaven. There was a legal act going, no, this cannot, and it will not, and it's going now. When we operate that way, because we don't have these other strings on us, we're not too busy. Can you imagine what that can do in the area of healing for all of us? Oh my gosh. That's why I want to go into this a little more next week. And I'm wrapping up the overview, actually. We don't want to... 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Ask anything according to my will, and it shall be done for you. This is the will of God for us to understand how this works in heaven. So if we're going to ask according to his will, then we can expect that it shall be done. We want to dissipate, dismantle, annihilate anything that we have the legal right to do on our watch, okay, before we even lay hands on somebody, if we know what to do, if we know how to hear that from heaven. Many times we'll lay hands on somebody and nothing happens, or it looks like nothing happens. Could it be that the anointing is being interrupted? Could it be that the anointing to break the yoke is there? But could it be that the Lord is saying, this needs to happen here, or it'll come back again and take that person out? You know, there's a lot of things going on in the spirit, and the Lord's trying to grow us up in those kinds of areas. Psalm 139:16. I spoke about that. I spoke about the Lord speaking into us that what was written about us before we were actually born is actually in heaven, the books of heaven. I spoke about that last week, and the books that have been written for us to be able to say, oh my gosh, there's a destiny for me. And we all know that Jeremiah 29:11-13 speaks about that, and we put it on graduation cards. But the Lord says that in those areas of destiny, there are things that he wants us to be able, as his workmanship, and the word for workmanship is poetry and poem. It means the same thing, that the Lord's writing a poetry and a poem for us in the sense that he's our beloved. It's one of the reasons we're going through Song of Solomon in the way that we are. So the Lord will help us see how loved we are. But also, when we know that depth of love, we're going to step out and we're going to go to the nations. But go to the nations is not just getting on a plane and going and handing out water. That is amazing. And if that's all we did and that's what he called us to do, yes. But he's also calling us to unpack and move things in the spirit when we go into the spirit realm in the nations or for the nations, and to help people get free of the bondages that they're in and even what's over the nations. And that's all part of what we're doing, where we're going, how we roll, so to speak. So this is for us right now. Well, I can't get there. I'm just trying to take care of my dog or my cat or this. I feel so much pressure, so much tension. I just don't, this is like, ah. Maybe there's something operating that you can do something about. And if there's a repeated pattern of something, the Lord is saying there's probably something that is either operating in the person where there's a pattern or in the person who's trying to get through the pattern. Maybe both. And the Lord's saying, you're missing a key. You're trying to do a good thing over here and be loving and kind and wonderful. But it's the same principle of, if I'm just nice enough, if I'm just patient enough, if I just serve enough. And the Lord says, there are really good people who don't make it. There are really good people who perhaps leave this world earlier than they have to. And we want to be part of stopping that. That's what part of being on the front lines is, being able to know how to wield our authority in a more powerful and effective way. And when we get to the place that we are now, the Lord says, I believe, he's saying, I have shown you so much. Think back 15 years ago when you could speak to that mountain and it really was removed. but you were also communing with the Lord so strongly. You may not have understood all the lingo, but you were doing a lot of these things. But now, there may be some areas where there's more that you can do. If we're not doing at least as much in the Spirit as we were before in executing righteousness, there's probably something going on, especially if it's long-lasting, because the Lord is always expanding, He's always increasing, He's always accelerating, and He's always multiplying, even in our desert. So the Lord gives us time in the desert to figure these things out with the goal of, come on, kids, let's go. So this is fun, isn't it? This is a discovery. You know, it's interesting. My family, many of them think that I should never have been a pastor or director. And they voiced it. And they said it. And I have to undo that in the courts. They think I should be a judge. They think I should have gone into law. They think I should be on the Supreme Court. They think, and they say these things, and it's ha, ha, ha. But it's not ha, ha, ha. It's interesting. It's not just that they're wrong in the thinking about what my destiny is supposed to be in that realm, but if they can dismiss who I am in the Spirit from God's perspective, they cannot receive. That's one thing. But the other thing is that when they recognize some of the gifts and abilities, they can't apply it to what I'm talking about now, their minds would go to this natural realm. Okay, just an example. There's more than that involved, but just an example of what people might think about you. Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, excuse me, this is written about Jesus' life, the scroll of the book written of me to do your will. And this is, if you want to put that up, Carly, really quickly, that would be great. We want to take a look at Jesus' life and we want to pattern our life directly after him. Thanks, Car. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering you've not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices, for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. And there are many books for each one. Each one of us has a book written about our life. There is a book that John the Revelator was asked to not only read, but to eat as he's prophesying destiny over nations, as he's releasing the promises in Scripture that need to come to pass in these last days. John was called by God. Okay, Daniel and others were stepping in for the Israelites, and they were decreeing and declaring, going into the courts legally to end the captivities of the Israelites. Nehemiah was another one to actually be used by God to end the Babylonian captivity, or another captivity as well. And they were used in that perspective. If we cannot do this for ourselves, we will not understand and get the full meaning even when we study Daniel. Mm-mm. If we're still operating with these things coming against us, we won't have that working understanding and freedom to be able to get the revelation from God for that moment when he's unpacking the Scriptures. So it's like, this is important for us because we're a very prophetic people, and I do want to speak more about that next week. Arrogance and ignorance gives the enemy legal right to strike. Speaking against others can also do that. It can power the enemy against somebody else. We want to use these keys that we're talking about to completely set the captives free. Now, I've spent a lot of time going through this, and I'm only going to touch on a few things right now because it is late and it's hot for a lot of people. Yeah, I'm only going to give you a few things to think about because there's enough to go over and consider, I do believe, from last week and this week together. Because I think even hearing it a second time, part of it a second time, this is still just an overview. So it's a message. It's about an hour. It's an hour-long message. But you can actually drive in your car and press play on the podcast and catch and listen to it, just so that you are able to then be provoked to go into the Spirit. The Lord's been waking me up, and I've been spending great amounts of time with Him in prayer over these things for a long time, for months and long time. The idea of curses and blessings, that's not new. But how to move with frontline in our family and such, the Lord's just, you know, giving timings for everything. Let's just put it that way.
One second.
If you mark down Daniel 7:10, and you read through the book of the chapter 7 of Daniel at some point, it talks about the courts and the throne of God, that the courts, Jesus was seated, or the Lord is seated in the court, and then the books were open in verse 10, Daniel 7:10. There's activity to get into this realm, and we want to be part of that. We want to see how we can understand that. You know, if you think about simply, what is it? Philippians 4:4. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is up here too, so I'm speaking. You can read Daniel 7:10 while I say this, okay? So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I'm going to present my prayer, my supplication, and some versions say petition to the Lord. Okay, different aspects of the way that we communicate with the Lord with thanksgiving, right? And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So God gives us a New Testament pattern, but he also says, look at Daniel 7:10. Let me just read this so we just, you know, we have both balanced. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court sat. The books were opened. If you read the first 9 verses of Daniel and the rest of Daniel 7, and you see and you read about the full vision that Daniel had and what Jesus said about it, you're going to be stunned. It's like, this is Old Testament stuff. Yeah, but that's Daniel. The Lord's raising up Daniels in this hour. Daniels who have the high priest and intercessor and mediator and great judge who's releasing his decrees now. And he's saying, we have to be the ones who understand these things inside of us to be able to release them to our little kids who are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. These kids, I'm telling you, they carry this kind of DNA. And the Lord's saying, this is serious time, serious joy. And God's saying, when we see the freedom that he has rendered for us, we're gonna put some of the things that we do on hold and take the lazy, hazy days of summer and think about this. I really believe God's releasing this in this way, in this season, because of that. I think summer is the perfect time. Why it wasn't in January, February, March, April, or May, or June, I don't know. It was the end of June. Except when PB and I look at what was released from here for this place, because we have the responsibility over this place, so to speak, then we can see the pattern. We can see the building. We can see that he needed to give a message of Zelu. If you weren't there, go find it and listen to it. Okay? So strong. And then we go to Imparty, and there's a message piggybacking that, because the Lord's preparing us now. He says, you want to see your Daniels raised up? You want to see, do you see yourself as a Daniel? Do you see yourself as an Esther? Do you see yourself presenting yourself before the king with your scepter? Do you see yourself being brought out of the ashes as Esther was? Or do we just need another conference to talk about Esther's being raised up? No, the Lord is saying we need to step into that DNA right now and close these doors once and for all. And I'm telling you, families will come back together. Things will change. The impossible will happen. It will. Because it all happens in the third heaven. And then it's played out. You have to get the answer in the third heaven, get the decree, get the legal jurisdiction, the judicial mandate. You get that at the heavenly realm for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for the ministry, and things will change. I'm so confident of that in the spirit. I know that it's true. He's told us. Oh, Jesus. Can we put up Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, then Ephesians 2, 10. And then we'll close with a couple Colossian verses for now. Folks, we're in a season of upgrade, new dimensions. And the Lord, on our wedding anniversary, we've been married 24 years, and on our wedding anniversary on June 11th, the Lord took us, and we told all of our kids in a text, Chrissy and Josh got that too, you know, oh my gosh, we've had an upgrade, and we were so excited, and the Lord just rolled out the red carpet. He was saying, this is the time that I've been telling you about. This is the time to release what you have. This is the time to make it known now. I have been building up. I have been restoring and preparing foundations, but if the foundations have been ignored, or the building of the foundations, or rebuilding, however you want to say it, if they've been ignored, we've been too busy, we haven't been around, we don't know what the steps have been to secure the release of these things, we need to go back and unpack that. Honestly. So we went from a King Deluxe without having reservations and carte blanche laid out for us at the top level of this place, the 77, which is 14, on the 14th floor, overlooking this place we went to, and room 24, which is the years that we'd been married. We knew. I mean, sometimes people say, well, 25 years, well, that's it. It's a quarter of a century. You've been married 25 years. And it's great, and we'll celebrate probably, and who knows what we'll do. But this year, the Lord was saying, this year, 24, this year, there's something prophetic about it for you. 24 is very important. There's 24 elders around the throne. It's double 12. It's kingdom of God doubled. And so when this man offered us, not just the King Deluxe, but came to me and said, would you like the King's Parlor? Would you like the next room over here that is double the size? Asked me. I'm telling you, Lord's saying, listen to this. For yourself, because we're all in this together. Ooh, this is so fun. Okay, Hebrews 12, 22 through 24 says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Who? What's going on? Here's a picture of Zion. Here's a picture of heaven. Do you love it? And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. When we sing out, oh, your blood speaks a better word, and we're just like, ah, we're in the heavenlies, you know, we're in the courtroom. Jesus says, I want you to understand what's going on. What happened in Hebrews, or what's written about in Hebrews, but what's going on? And what does that vision mean? What does that dream mean that you had? When you had that encounter, what do you do with it? See, that's where we are. And Jesus is saying, this is a very busy place. There's a whole council here. I have seen in the great cloud of witnesses, and this was, I don't even know how many years ago. I'm not saying who I'm going to say I saw. But it was pulled back. And this open vision, I saw what was something was going on. I've seen other things too. And many of you have. And the Lord is saying we're not communing with the dead as the devil does. No, we're not saying that. But we need to recognize that the devil's a counterfeiter of the original. And we need to know what's going on in heaven and what rights we have. And we need to undo anything that was, we need to say, okay. But we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be, okay, I'm just going to get on the roadway. I don't know how to drive, but what the heck? Well, that's just foolish. Because the enemy will go, well, there's unbridled zeal. But at the same time, be a risk taker and go to the Word and say, Lord, I don't know exactly how to pray, but help me. I'm going to humble myself. Okay, so God's giving us these designs. We're going to pray in a minute here. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 2:10. There's other things that I talked about last week that I didn't go over, but I think you get the gist of it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them. If we're not walking in what he prepared for us at age 28, at age 35, at age 41, at age 57, at age 67, at age 85 for Barb, okay, or whatever, the Lord says you can, and I want you to stop in your tracks and now start to seek me in these areas, and don't make excuses, because he's saying, I've got the king's parlor for you. So this is all good. This is just really great. Let's look up Colossians 2:1-4 and Colossians 2:14. When we petition the Lord, these are legal issues. This is just amazing. Thank you, Jesus. The spirit realm is real. And unfortunately, but fortunately, curses are legal. So we thank you, Jesus. And curses can only operate against you or the family because there's a legal right to operate. So if they're operating, okay. But there's still accusation. And accusation needs to be undone, because accusation can... Jesus is saying, no, that's not true. But if we're not walking in that and we're agreeing, then a curse can come. So we need to cooperate with Jesus and cooperate and see what he's doing there. Okay, Colossians 2:1-4. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so no one will delude you with a persuasive argument. Many times we forget the last part of that verse. We can actually listen to a persuasive argument that has a lot of emotion, and it even seems right, but it's not right. And if we come into agreement, because, you know, we're all on our journey, we're just on our own journey, and that sounds compassionate, but it can be very foolish, because we can let things go that we could actually do something about in the heavenlies for ourselves and for other people. Can we have the other one, please? Jesus has canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, these scriptures, many of them that we have gone through already, are familiar scriptures in here. But let me just pose this. Let's suppose we have this invisible band around us, our children, our grandchildren, our family line, or, you know, however you want to look at it. And we don't realize it's there. So then we try to deal with the people, first of all ourselves and people in our family, with this not being disengaged. This, I'm for those who are listening later, I'm holding up the red band. And we want to disengage this the permission that the enemy has gained from the Lord to operate this way in the courts. We talked about criminal court and divorce court and family court and civil court, and there's different protocol for different courts. And if we say, well, I know, because I had this thing happen 20 years ago, and you know, I just feel really angry now. And, you know, I suppose it's related. Well, that's great. It's probably the Lord saying, yes, but let me show you what to do about it completely from beginning to end so that it's not operative in your life and you can be more effective, because the enemy wants to bring division always, because the Lord is a gatherer and the enemy is a scatterer. So in James 4:7, when the scripture says, submit to God, resist the enemy and he'll flee, part of submitting to God is working out our salvation in these areas. That's part of submitting to God. That's part of resisting the enemy. We're called to do that. And many times we just gallop on the, you know, we're in a battle. We are, always. We're not saying you're not in a battle. We're not in a battle. We're always in this battle. However, the Lord says, take care of things in a different realm, because you're in this battle. If you don't take care of things in that realm, the battle is going to, could wear you out. You know, especially if you're a person, like in my family, oh my gosh, from my father family, you know, that family, extended family, pull yourself up, you can do this. Oh, if it takes 94 years or whatever it would be, you can do it. God is good. Jesus is Lord. But it's not necessarily Lord in this way, or even their own Lord. I don't know. That's not my call. Point being that if we're strong and tenacious, you must be if you're in this ministry and you're here, right? But we want to get free completely and not just dismiss it. Oh, it's another message about freedom. Yes, because Jesus already paid the price. Deuteronomy 28:45, this is a closing attitude I want to mention here, that sometimes we can say, I can outlive it, I can outwait it, and it's not really a curse in my life. I don't like the word, I'm not going down that road. Well, I would hope that would not be your thinking. We don't want to have a passive attitude when we're dealing with this subject. We want to declare war against all of this in the spirit, and we want to determine to take any legal rights away, any operating rights, any iniquity in any way. So we want to say, Lord, what is the legal right the enemy is using here? I need to discern this. That's what I need to do. So I get pretty excited about things when I know it's the right time or have another revelation or whatever it is. It's like, oh, this is just so great. Because the Lord is just saying, I love you so much. Here's more. Here's more. Here's more for everyone, right? Okay, Deuteronomy 28:45. So all these curses. Now, this is Old Testament, but this is when they were operating. It shows you the nature of them. Curses shall come on you and pursue you, overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And the Lord gives us commandments. He gives us the great commandment, you shall love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? You shall, right? Zulu, Zelu, you shall love me. It's like, I will love you. Nothing will stop that. Then why are you still involved in this mess that could be cleaned up in a different way when I'm showing you there's another way, but you really don't want to hear that there might be another way. There might be something else. And that's where you're not obeying me. It's like, oh, okay, I want to obey you so that I can really love people the way you want me to love people. When I was a little girl, I was telling Pastor Bill this, and then we'll pray. I want to tell you this. I hadn't really thought about it till last night. When I was a little girl, this neighbor kid would come up, just look at me. I mean, I'm like second grade. And boom, hit me and want to beat me up. Well, then you may think, well, that toughened you. Well, and then I went into elementary, and people would make fun of my looks or my weight. I was bigger than I thought at that time, you know, that I probably needed to be. And so it was really hard, because there would be this tantalizing or this taunting, you know, and it hurt my heart a lot. So you mix that with going on the playground and someone just doesn't like the new kid and they come up, boom, they punch you in the stomach. It's like, phew. Okay, well, that just happened back, you know, before I moved here a couple of different times. And no one came to my rescue in any of these times. There wasn't anyone saying, oh, that's too bad, honey. And then there was another time, even in high school, someone came up and punched me right in the stomach. People do that in high school? I was new to me, and I was at a sleepover overnight because I'm a talkative, joyful person. Even not knowing Jesus, I have the same general personality. And boom. And so I've had numbers of things like this, and then I just take a look at various things in my family line in life in different ways that the enemy has worked, and I can see some of the things that came up against me that the enemy uses to tag and connect in with other people even. And those things have had to go by the wayside as my identity in Jesus is this. But if I'm operating in less than the full identity in Jesus for whatever reason, there could be a red band over here from another aspect of maybe a curse operating in my life or someone else's. I'm going to say myself, I'm not seeing any curses right now, but if God wanted to show me something else, he can do that. But the point is, we need to do that. And we need to recognize it so that we're not dwelling there, but that we are open and honest. Because there's a reason for things, that things happen. And we talked about going back to actually the beginning, not just 3 and 4 generations, but even before that, we talked about how to do that last week. And we prayed. So I think we need to consider these kinds of things. And when we're looking at, let's say, let me give you another example. When I was taking care of my mom, before she passed, the dynamics with some of the people in the family was interesting and challenging, all for my growth, for me to take a look at me. And I would see that I would answer something a certain way, and somebody else might answer something another way. But the opinion of others might not be the same opinion as the Lord. Why? What's going on? So I need to take a look at the bigger picture so that I'm not persuaded by strong sounding words, and that I'm really walking in the full freedom that I have, even if people are saying, you know, accusing. But I don't just say, well, if I'm being accused, too bad. I have to go into the courtrooms and say, what's going on? And those who are seers, and all of us are to whatever degree, the Lord can show us what's still operating or what hasn't been shut down. He'll do that. Sometimes I'll be in bed and Pastor Bill will just lean over and start praying for me and start pulling arrows out of my back. I'm not trying to say, oh, poor me, believe me. It's like, why are they, how come there's an arrow in my back? I'll start crying. Where's that coming from? Why am I being shot in the back? Well, people can shoot you and they don't like you, or they talk about you or whatever, for sure. But I don't want them there, so I have a husband who can see. And so he will do that, and I will cooperate with that. You see? So those are just little things, but they're still very important for us, because the Lord doesn't want anything to have a legal right to continue to pummel us so that we could do something about it in a way that's healthy and strong. So this is a lot of preparation, and we're going to close in prayer, and we're just going to ask the Lord to touch us right now. I want to go into other things next week. I have more scriptures. I have a lot of connecting of dots that might might help in many ways. We want to have the right perspective. We don't want to have any sort short-circuiting in our journeys. So, Father, we come before you, Jesus, and we know who we are in you. And you want to expand that right now, Jesus. And we are coming humbly, Lord, with a different way, perhaps for some, in approaching your throne of grace with confidence and boldness, God. And for many in here, Lord, who've already cried out, going, Jesus, please change this. Please rescue me or this situation. Lord, you're answering prayer. You're giving us keys. You're helping us take appropriate steps to do what can be done, because your word is so sharp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And Father, it is intended by you to bring us into a place of freedom. Lord, we want our destinies to be so secure in unfolding at your pace. We want to understand how this works, and it's not hard. It just takes us time to stop, listen, and connect with you. So we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for educating us again, for unfolding certain things in our life, God, where we're prepared for these, so that we can say yes without hesitating, and we can help with the body of Christ. We can move in tandem with what you're saying and doing right now, and that we'll recognize that when there's resistance, there's probably a reason coming from somewhere, and we need to discern what the somewhere is, because when we came to you, Lord, at our conversion, Lord, you said we're new creatures in you, that the old has passed away and the new has come. So, Father, for our thinking, for our wills, for our emotions, and even our bodies to line up with that, God, we have to close these doors where things have been operating, or even new areas that could be operating as a result of our own choices. But many times it's from our iniquitous line, or iniquity in the line. So, Lord, we're asking you as we approach you right now, that you would open up the windows of heaven that are already open, but open them up for us, that we would see how loved we are, how cherished we are. You wouldn't have done what you did at the cross without that love coming from Father. So we thank you, Father, that we want to be doing just what you have told us that your Father in heaven, Jesus, is doing, just as you did. We want to walk in your authority and footsteps. We want to be able to recognize how to do more than smile and bake cookies, God. Not saying that's wrong. God, do more than just be gentle with someone. That is all important, and we must do that. We must walk in gentleness. We must walk in doing things for people. But Lord, we need to be armed and dangerous in you. We need to be completely able to understand what you've released for us, because there's so much more, Lord, and we want to be able to receive that. I believe we'll be hearing things at Relentless Pursuit in the fall, God, that we'll just assume in the spirit that we're able to grasp some of the things. We don't want to miss anything. And it's not just Relentless Pursuit. It's for tomorrow. It's for this week. It's for what's coming up. You've set up things to happen expeditiously in the spirit. And if our expectation is low, we get low. If our expectation is high, you may call us to participate in that. So, Father, with us right now during this 4th of July week, God, or weekend coming up, or whatever it would be, or going to Mozambique, Father, that you are growing us up in our most holy faith. So we're asking, Father, generally right now, because there's more, but right now, Father, for any iniquity in the family line, that your blood would be applied. Lord, we just raise up the holy standard of your blood speaking a better word, and that you would show us, God, where this is, how it rolls, how we need to close doors, what we need to do to humble ourselves, what we need to do to repent for others and their own sin, God, how we can do that with a heart of compassion without judging. And Father, that we would repent first and foremost for our participation in any area or anything that would be less than what you would say or do, Jesus, anything. And God, that the gift of repentance that so brings such refreshing, and also forgiveness, God, coming to us and coming into the heavenly realm towards other people will give us what we need, Lord, to be able to fully decree and declare that which is written in the books of life for our own life, for our own destiny, for those in our family and friends and ministry, God, which will take us out of just that closed circle, God, but out into the regional areas and the local, regional, state, national areas, God. There's so much more that you have for those who are called as prophets to the nations, those who are called as evangelists, those who are called as pastors, teachers, and apostles, God, in every other area in which we are to serve. You're raising up leaders in this last day, God. You're raising up your worshipers, Jesus. We need to understand when we worship you in spirit and in truth that we open ourselves to this. So, Father, we're asking that your blood would, it speaks a better word, would go before us and be our rear guard as well. And go into those deep places, God. And touch those places where there's been woundedness. And touch those places where there's been hurt and pain. And the way that we thought that we would heal, Lord, we may be feeling there's some progress, but there may be other things operating, God, that are, if they don't go away, we're just going to extend what we think we need for healing time, and we're shooting ourselves in the foot. So, Father, thank you for this revelation today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that a cancer starts out as a deviant cell, God. And Father, so we ask you to go to the DNA where we are, God, where we were intended by you to be, and that you would bring the forgiveness and the freedom from a legal perspective, O Most High God. We thank you, Judicial Judge, that you explain this to us in those courtrooms. And we thank you, God, in the courtroom of heaven. And we thank you, Father, that your destiny will, for us, Lord, we shall come to pass, even in the short term, more. There will be breakthrough. Things will start to change. Our testimonies will include these kinds of breakthrough. And we thank you, Jesus, for this. You're so good. Thank you, Father, that when we take care of business and don't put the cart before the horse, when we do things expeditiously in this realm and continue to, Lord, then we speak against the devourer and he flees. So we thank you, Father, as part of our submitting to you, we are able to go to you. You say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened and laden, and I will give you rest. So, Father, we've learned how to do that, but now we take that and we take the rest that we're learning and we understand what can happen in the courts of heaven as we rest before you. Father, I pray, my prayer is that no one will shut this down. Father, that this will have opened up a new realm of and a new dimension in the heavenly realm for those of us here, God. And we'll be able to exercise that freedom and we'll be able to execute righteousness, God, because you're the one that says, this is the way it is. And you silence the accuser of the brethren. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You're so gracious. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we will listen and re-listen. And Father, we will expect what's going to happen next week. We will expect what's going on this week, that we will take this seriously because you want to bring victory. You're doing things that have never happened before. God, show us what we can do as we prepare for the next step. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whew.